So we find ourselves in the story of Joseph. Joseph, we were talking a little bit about him in Sunday school today. Joseph, someone who had a few bad days, if you know anything about the story. And a dysfunctional family. Anybody have a dysfunctional family? You want to know? You want to know how I know my family's normal? Because we're all dysfunctional. Dysfunction's the norm, isn't it? It used to be odds out there. Oh, no. Everybody, right? We're all dysfunctional on some level. And what makes Joseph so interesting is that in the midst of this family dysfunction and all the difficulties that he has to face, he shows tremendous courage and faithfulness to God. He is the favorite son of Jacob. He has many sons, but he is the favorite. He's such a favorite that his father, Jacob, buys him a very special colored coat, right? Which makes the brothers crazy. Even more so, right? You see, Joseph had some sibling problems, right? Some sibling rivalry. I'd be willing to bet he even had some daddy issues. Those brothers, they were all very jealous that Joseph had received such a beautiful coat, that he was daddy's favorite. Listen, jealousy kills. Oh, it's all cute at first. It shows you care. But then it goes too far and too deep. It becomes fatal, right? But what kind of perhaps made things even worse was Joseph kept having these dreams. These dreams were prophecies of greatness and great position of leadership, and even over his older brothers. And these were dreams he liked to share with them. And that didn't sit well with his brothers either, right? Needless to say, the brothers did not really receive the reports of these dreams so very well. And day by day, you just saw that this favored son gnawed at the brothers, and their jealousy turned into hatred. One day his father Jacob sends out Joseph to go see his brothers and sends him on a mission to go meet them. And the older brothers see an opportunity to get rid of Joseph. They see an opportunity to get rid of him. They cast him into a pit. But Reuben, the eldest son, interceded for a change. Instead of leaving Joseph to die, they agree to sell him to some Ishmaelites who would take him to Egypt. And that's where this story comes into play. Genesis 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted Joseph in his care everything that he owned. From the time he put him in charge of the household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and even in the fields. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the other household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand, and he ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called to her household servants. Look, she said to him, to them, this Hebrew was brought to make us sport of us. He came here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave that you bought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. And when his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those who were held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave success wherever and whatever he did. May God bless the reading of his word. One little segment out of Joseph's life. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of an Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in the eyes of Potiphar and became his attendant. Here's your first one's promotion. Promotion. Potiphar was no ordinary man. He could buy slaves. That makes him a pretty exceptional character in the times going on. When it came to an Egyptian leadership, he was near the top. Potiphar headed up the military wing that guarded Pharaoh. Kind of like our Secret Service guards the president. He was in charge of the Pharaoh's Secret Service. So Joseph is sold by his brothers and forced to leave the life of the shepherd farmer and becomes a servant in an Egyptian household. It's there he's got to learn some new customs. He's got to learn some new ways of life. He's going to have to learn a new speech, new language in an Egyptian territory. Maybe he even learns hieroglyphics. And immediately, Joseph shows a flair for the administration. His administrative skills are put to work, and it becomes clear to Potiphar that he had gotten a pretty good bargain. This Joseph was a valuable employee. Everything Joseph did, he did well. Joseph worked as unto the Lord, to bring glory unto God no matter what he was doing. Everything that Joseph managed was done with excellence. And the text tells us a little something there. Here's your next slide. There is a relationship between God's presence and his blessing. In one sense, the Lord is omniscient. He blesses everybody. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. The sun's going to shine on those that are doing good and those that are perpetuating evil. So in many ways, God blesses. End of statement. He blesses over and abundantly everyone. Yet, there is personal favor upon his children. The Lord was with Joseph personally. Joseph knew prosperity, he knew promotion, he knew favor, because God was with him. Joseph honored God with his life. God was blessing him. Now you ready? Listen. For a purpose. For a purpose. And Joseph's not even aware of the purpose. He doesn't even know. But he's honoring God. And he continues to honor God. And the favor of God is upon him. The favor, the blessings may have been surprising. It was extraordinary that he would find himself in such circumstances and the favor of God would be upon him. May have even been unexpected. But I know this about it. It was very obvious. It was obvious to him and everyone around him. Even Potiphar, the captain the leader of the Pharaoh's secret service, had to acknowledge that God was with Joseph. Maybe not Potiphar's God, but certainly Joseph's God was with him and blessing him and honoring him. How about that for a witness? They do not even know God. They do not know your God, but they watch you. They watch your life. They watch your faithfulness. And they wonder about your God. It makes them, I bet, wonder about their own idols. What an awesome illustration to even begin to try and follow. That Joseph honored God, and others were blessed. Potiphar's household, blessed because of it. Amazing that you could bring such blessing upon a household. Are you ready? Amazing. You can bring such blessing upon a household that does not know your God. The unsaved, the lost, the hurting, those that would reject your God. And yet, you bless. You bless. Bless those that persecute you. You see your enemy hungry? Feed him. Can you get a little taste? Just a little bit about how it works? Maybe why it works? God's favor in you, upon you, and through you. That's an amazing God. Was Joseph actively involved in ministry? Did he have a title? Was he a reverend? Did he have a ministry degree from, you know, four-year college? Did he go through a certification program to understand God and, you know, be able to memorize the Ten Commandments? Was he planting a church? Was he preaching? He did not have access to a pulpit. You know what he was doing? He was living a certain way. He was living a certain way. He was living out his faithfulness, even when no one else around him was. And favor was upon him. We have got to try to live a certain way. Living a certain way is not for the preacher. It's not for the priest. It's not for those planting a church. It's not for the missionaries going overseas. It's for you to live a certain way every day of your life, at work and at play. Joseph was a man of God. Even the pagans could see that. Are you a person of God? Did circumstances make Joseph a man of God? Or did circumstances reveal that Joseph was a man of God? What a wonderful testimony you have. What a wonderful opportunity you have. Particularly in a society that seems to be creeping down the slippery slope of immorality and multiple idols. Your God is not going to stand out in the crowd unless you do. Your life is a testimony. Your faith is real. Your faithfulness is being watched. God is worthy. God is alive. And God makes a difference in people's lives. You make a difference in people's lives. Well, Joseph had some things going for him. He was handsome. In form and appearance. But with good looks, some of you know it, there comes problems. The wrong girl was after Joseph. Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife. And it's here that we learn. Watch. It's difficult, but it is possible to say no. It's difficult, but it is possible to say no. Anybody ever been tempted? Tempted? Maybe you're not so tempted with your lust. How about money, lying, you know, stealing, you know? Ever been tempted? Then you kind of know, right? Kind of, see, it's difficult, but it is possible. And the scriptures kind of give us this impression that Joseph never even considered it. Things that make you go, The text tells us that he was pressured day after day after day, and he was being hounded by this seductress who was working to break him down. Do you think maybe? Maybe. It was convenient. She was compelling. She was available. She had authority. She had power. It was easy enough to probably get away with it as well. It would be pleasurable. It would be exciting. It would be mischievous. Temptation often looks sweet and appealing and easy. Joseph had made a spiritual decision, not a physical one. Joseph made a moral decision, not a lustful one. He made a God-based, faith-filled decision to honor God. Now listen, I think that decision was made long before the circumstance ever arose. Am I right? What kind of decisions are you making? Because I promise you, the circumstances are coming. Joseph had a wholehearted trust in God's purpose for him, even though he couldn't quite figure it all out or know what it all meant. He did not dilute the purpose that God was showing him favor and honoring him. God's blessing was upon him. He would not risk losing the personal blessings that were coming from God to him for a momentary bit of pleasure. He wasn't willing to risk it. He believed that he was in God's care, and he wanted to do things God's way. Do you want to do things God's way? How many of us believe, you know, that God is with us and God is in our lives, and we can see all the general blessings that are going on for the whole world, and we can see that God, in fact, in favor is shining upon us, but we do not do the things he asks of us? I wonder what blessings we miss. I wonder what favor we sacrifice for a momentary piece of pleasure. You risk it all for a lie. People make economic decisions every day, not moral ones. People make physical decisions every day, not spiritual ones. People make emotional decisions every day, not spiritual and moral ones. The church and the preachers are pounding the pulpit. Would you make a spiritual decision, not an economic one? Would you make a spiritual decision in your life? Would you be someone that honors God? Before the circumstance ever even arises in your life, you know you're a person of God. And you know how to walk, and you know what is right, and you have God's favor upon you, and you will not risk it for anyone or anything. You got that kind of faith? Because the churches are emptying out. Because people will make economic choices based upon their feelings and based upon their money, but they won't based upon their faith. I wonder how much we miss. I wonder how much we miss. People live immoral lives and they ask God to bless their immorality. Oh, please forgive my sin. Please forgive my lifestyle. Bless me anyway. I'm just going to keep doing it. He has blessed you. He has everyone. But personally, is the favor of God upon you to accomplish and complete the purpose for which you were created? I'm just trying to encourage you, especially if you believe that the Lord is at work in your life, to do things God's way, and you don't risk losing the blessings and the purpose that God has for you. Be holy, be set apart, be moral, live with excellence. Make a spiritual decision for once in your life, will you? Joseph was convinced that God had chosen him, therefore he would not sin against God. What are you convinced of? Has God chosen you? Has God enlightened you? Has God filled you with the Holy Spirit of God? Are you empowered by his Holy Spirit? There's your next one, purity. Joseph recognizes that this proposition that's coming from Potiphar's wife, it's a wicked violation. You recognize it? Most of us can easily recognize wicked violations and we walk into it anyway. We recognize. And it's a violation against his master. It's a violation against marriage. It's a violation against God. And he refuses to sin against his master, and he refuses to violate his trust. He refuses to sin against the sacrament of marriage, viewing it as a sacred bond. He refuses to sin against God because this is an immoral thing that will only bring him trouble. Here's your next slide. No one can fulfill their divine destiny by disobeying God. Joseph knows this. He's not willing to risk it. God has a purpose for Joseph. We know because we know the end of the story. But in the midst, he has no clue. Many of us have no clue why we're going through what we're going through. You can relate to Joseph. You have no clue about purpose and suffering. But you trust God. Joseph's trusting God. And you get the joy of discovering what that is and that purpose is. Joseph had a favor upon him that he would always walk in a way that was honoring to God. He understood sin to be harmful to his soul. It was a wicked thing. So when she boldly grabs him, he flees. Run, little Joseph, run! Right? Leaves his cloak behind. And if you're running, you look guilty. If you're running, you look guilty, right? And Potiphar's wife is scorned. She's spurned, right? Burn. And all that love that she has for him, all that seductiveness, all that come to bed with me, all that, you know, trying to seduce him all the time, turns to hate. Just like that. Bink. Just like that. Turn on you. Whoa. Just like that. It's amazing to me how many lovers turn to haters. Did you ever really love? It's amazing to me how many marriages turn to divorce. It's amazing to me all the great sex turns to indifference. Friends and families get torn apart, forced to take sides. Choose who you're going to be a friend with. Is it going to be her? Is it going to be him? Who's it going to be? Torn apart. And most of the time in families like that, it's not the mommy and the daddy that really suffer all the pain. It's the kids that get it stuck. They're the ones that get hurt the most. Then it ends up that they're out to hurt each other intentionally. Just like Potiphar's wife, I'm intentionally trying to hurt this man I want to make love to. Intentional pain. They want to inflict vengeful, ruthless, no mercy, like good divorce court, going at each other. Who can inflict the most pain? Evil is winning in the hearts of people. Destroying relationships, crushing out love, stomping on it, spitting on it, pushing it to the side, dividing us. Potiphar's wife lies to her husband. It's lies. She has deceitfulness in her heart, intentionally trying to hurt him. She did not handle rejection well. Probably used to getting what she wants whenever she wants it. And then the thing that she can't, she's going to lash out at. from being lover to being hater. And all of Joseph's good deeds cost him. Costs him. That ain't right. What? What? Are you kidding me? He does what's right and he goes to jail? He does what's right and he's the one who has to suffer? He stands up for what's right and he gets lied about. God's favor's upon him and the world and the evil is coming against him. Are you kidding me? Daniel stands up for what's right and ends up in the lion's den. Joseph stands up for what's right and he ends up in the pit. He ends up in a prison. Paul preaches it, he ends up in prison. Jesus stands up for what's right. He gets crucified. I get punished for doing the right thing. Integrity and honesty and morality and ethics, they clash with an evil world. They clash with an evil world. It's a war, it's a battle. And most of it is evil. Most of it is all the spiritual darkness that isn't flesh, that isn't physical. It's all the spiritual things that are coming against you. The enemy wants to take you down. And yet, while he's falsely accused, and while he's lied about, and while he's in prison, God is still with him. God is still with him. Is God still with you? God is still with you, Sua. God is still with you, Evelyn. God is still with you, Roger. God is still with you, Tim. God's still with you, Gracie. God's still with you. God's still with you. God's still with you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He has not abandoned you in the pit. He has not abandoned you into prison. He's with you. He's filling you. He's inspiring you, and he's encouraging you to do the right thing. Joseph goes from penthouse to jailhouse. What makes this so hard as we look at it and go, it's so unjust. How could God let this happen to Joseph? He should be blessed for honoring and obeying God, not punished and thrown in jail. The one who should be suffering is Potiphar's wife and Potiphar and all those Egyptians and the Ishmaelites and the brothers and all of those people. Why does obedience have to be so unpleasant? Why does obedience have to be so difficult, so costly? Why does being good hurt? The Lord was with Joseph. He showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with Joseph. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. A man of God does not matter the circumstance. Person following after God, they have faithfulness regardless of the circumstance. Does the circumstance dictate your faith? Does the circumstance dictate whether you're going to honor God and follow God and be a person of integrity? Oh, well, it depends on the situation. Does it? Does it? Prosperity. That's your next one? Or perseverance. Perspective. I had like three or four different ones. Too many P's. God does not forget us even in the midst of our suffering. God does not forget us even in the darkest of pits. The world may punish your integrity. The world may punish your faith. The world may punish your honesty, but God will honor it. Just watch what God can do in the midst of a pit, in the midst of a prison, in the midst of slavery. Just watch what God can do. Joseph has felt the betrayal of his brothers, seen the bottom of a cistern, the shackles of slavery, the harshness of being sold like property. He has risen out of the depths only to get thrown back into prison. Joseph's held in prison because he did the right thing. He fled the temptation to do the wrong thing, and instead of being honored, he's getting punished. Pain and suffering are inevitable. Didn't we discuss that in Sunday school? Death exists in a condemned world. We're all going to die. We just don't know the method. But if suffering is inevitable, let it also be known that misery, despair, bitterness is optional. It's optional. Joseph seemed to keep his perspective. He kept his perspective, honoring God, even though circumstances around him, they don't look so pretty. Still going to honor God. What has honoring God got me but in prison? What has honoring God got me but a lot of temptation? What has God got me but a lot of suffering? What has God got me but shackles and slavery? It doesn't take long, you start going, I don't want to follow that God. Circumstances do not have to dictate your attitude. You might have a bad day, but you can have a good attitude. You might have a bad day, but you don't have to be bitter about it. Joseph seemed to have his perspective. If God could raise him as he did back there with his brothers, while he's in prayer, he could do it again. If God would protect him and show favor upon him, even in Potiphar's household, God could do it again. Anybody in here that God's helped? Not recently. In the past. You'd give a testimony, you'd say, yeah, I know God was with me when? 30 years ago, he brought me to my knees and I broke down and I cried and I had to confess. Anybody? Probably everybody. Right? Probably everybody. Right? So you know God was with you back then. I saw what he did. It's amazing to me. That's why I keep coming to church. I keep showing up to see what he's going to do next. And I promise you, he's going to do something next. He's got something in mind for you. Are you dedicated to God's calling upon your life and fulfilling the purpose for which you were created? Do you believe that God is working in your life right now? Not just back then and there, but here and now today. Let's give him some praise. Amen, Lord. Work in my life today. How about doing things God's way so we do not lose the blessing and the favor that can be ours? The world and men may crush us, but God will uphold us. Are you as dedicated to Joseph to fulfilling God's divine destiny for you? Watch. Here's your next slide. Have the courage to do the right thing, will you? Have the courage to do the right thing. I know it can be easy. I know the temptations can be sweet. I know it can be momentarily pleasurable. But man, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. You may not even see the ways it's going to cost you. It may cost your kids. It may delay in the blessings that God wants to bestow upon you. We must have the courage to do the right thing, even if the immediate consequences are less than desirable. The war for our soul is going on, so the temptations are coming. So you need to make some determinations today. I am a person of God. I am a person of faith. Period. I am a forgiving person, regardless of the circumstance. I am a patient person, regardless of the circumstance. I am a person that honors, trusts, and believes in God. Period. That's the end of the statement. There's no, well, maybe if somehow, perhaps, circumstances change and, you know, I lose my job, I lose my wife, my kids run away and they do drugs and, you know, there's all the circumstances. Are you a man of God? Are you a person of faith? There will be temptations to tarnish your character. There will be temptations to spend what you don't have. There will be temptations to lie and to cheat. There will be temptations to manipulate other people. There will be temptations to compromise sexually. There will be temptations to embrace evil. Joseph was victorious, not in one monumentous occasion, but day after day after day after day in his life. Temptation after temptation after temptation in his life. Circumstance after circumstance after circumstance. Joseph was victorious because he was a man that honored, followed God. If we're going to be that, we're going to have to do this next one too. Focus on our promises, not on the problems. Focus on the promises, not on the problems. Well, how long am I going to have to do that, Pastor? Yes. Yes, you're going to have to keep doing that. But all I see are problems. That's the problem. No, you don't understand. All I see are the problems. That's the problem. You don't see the promises. You don't stand on the promises. You won't walk with integrity and faith in the promises. All you see are problems everywhere. And you're blaming God for all the problems. And all he's got for you is promises and promises and promises and promises to uphold you and to honor you. To keep you. You keep serving. You keep honoring. You keep following. You keep believing. Focus on the promise. Yeah, but you know, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. How did it feel, Joseph? Did it feel good to be tempted day after day after day by a seductress woman? How did it feel, Joseph, to run away? How did it feel to get in prison? Did that feel good, Joseph? Did you like that? Jesus, beaten, humiliated, spit upon, nailed to a cross. How did that feel, Jesus? Did that feel good? You think it's all about your feelings? God's got something bigger than your feelings. Are you bigger than your feelings? I'm sorry if I've offended you. The world is offensive, and the gospel is offensive. And you will walk toward one or run toward the other. You cannot serve two masters. We know this from last week. God is as much present in our sufferings as he is in our peace and prosperity. Why do we think only God's with us whenever it's all going good? God's with you when it ain't going so well. When you need a car. When you're going to chemo. God's with you. Live a life characterized by excellence. Did I give that slide? I'm trying to bring this home for us, folks. I'm trying to bring it home. Live a life characterized by excellence. Your feelings? I'm not so sure they're excellent. Anybody ever have false feelings? Deceived by their own feelings? Anybody ever lie to themselves? Nah. Deceive your own self? I don't even trust my own self. I trust God. I trust God to lead. That I can lay my life out and say, you, God, got to do something. I'm just looking at you. I'm just following you. Joseph experienced the fulfillment of God's promises in his life. And all those prophecies and all those things that he all came to fruition. His life led him through jealousy, led him through hatred, led him through pits, led him through slavery, led him through punishment, led him through prison, and his faith stayed constant. His eyes were upon God. Listen, not an easy life. Not an easy life. Anybody got an easy life? Not an easy life. But watch, a favored one. A highly favored one. Highly personally favored. Your relationship with God, personal. Personal. And listen, if you can find a path with no obstacles, it probably leads nowhere. Today we're going to look at communion. We're going to wash ourselves clean today. Because your present circumstances, they do not determine where you're going to go. You listen? Your present circumstances do not dictate and determine where you're going to go. They just determine where you're going to start. Today, start. A little deeper, a little more faith, a little more righteous, a little more moral. Going to make some decisions that are honoring God, less that honor the Republicans or the Democrats. Honor God. Honor God, even above your own feelings. Yeah, but you know what I think? God probably don't really care what you think. Much more interested in you thinking about Him. You get it? Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, this day, thank you for your presence and your spirit filling this place. And I pray, Father, for the tender hearts that you have spoken to today. May you mold them and shape them. Father, I pray for those minds that are beginning to think, challenging their own thought processes and their own ways and their own faithfulness. Father, I pray you continue to guide, lead, inspire, give them wisdom and knowledge that surpasses their feelings. Father, would you guide and lead us and help us in understanding all that you have done for us, that you would shower us with your favor and your blessing. And so, Father, we seek you this very morning. We desire your blessings upon us in our lives. Reveal to us, show us, Father, how we might be stronger, how we might walk a little closer with you. And we be the people of God that you desire us to be, to bring you honor and to bring you glory. In the name of your Son, amen. Do you have a communion cup? I think we're starting to run low on these, I hope. We're utilizing these up so we can kind of maybe get back to, would you be okay with that? Yeah. Okay, I think the congregation might be as well, everybody. The story's fairly familiar to most of us. This is an open communion. What does that mean? It means you don't have to be a member of New Life Alliance Church. All we're asking is that you've accepted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then partake with us as a brother and sister in Christ. And so when he was with his friends, his disciples, he took bread, gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them saying, take this and eat this, for this is my body, which is broken for you as a ransom.